Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me. If you're new here, my name is Christy. I share about my life, the joys and challenges of living with cerebral palsy and other chronic health conditions. Today, I want to talk about a subject that can be challenging and touchy, and that is the concept of ableism, what it is, how it affects the world as we know it, both for disabled and non-disabled individuals, and what we can do to combat it. The most powerful definition of ableism that I have come across comes from accessliving.org, who define ableism as the discrimination of and social prejudice against people with disabilities based on the belief that typical abilities are superior. At its heart, ableism is rooted in the assumption that disabled people require fixing and defines people by their disability. Ableism can be subtle and blatant. I have encountered both throughout my life. It can be purposeful as well as unintended. Looking back over my adult life, I can now see that I experienced ableism before I even knew what the word meant, and perhaps even before society and culture knew what the word meant. It looks something like this: being relentlessly bullied in school simply because I had a disability, or people refusing to even speak to me because it was not seen as cool to speak to the crippled girl, or eating lunch alone at a table by myself because it wasn't cool to associate with the crippled girl. I have had countless friends, and I use the term friends loosely, over the years, turn their backs and stop speaking to me because they decided it was too hard for them to be around someone with a disability and health conditions. It's not fun, especially when I can't do the things that they want to do. Many have been unwilling to meet me where I'm at and enjoy the things that I can do, and my friendship. They'd rather walk away and turn their backs because it's easier for them. And sometimes I think they do it because it's hard for them to imagine a life like mine, and it makes them uncomfortable to look at their own privilege and blessings. My friends are few and far between. I can really only think of two people who I allowed to really get to know me and be in the thick of it with me. And I am so grateful for these two people. It has taken me a long time to build the relationship that I have with them because of ableism and trauma. As I have said in my previous episodes, I recently spent 34 days in the hospital, and one of those individuals who lives here locally was the biggest blessing. She was steadfast with her love and support, visited me multiple times in the hospital, fielded phone calls from the doctors, advocated for me. She loved and believed in me. On one of her many visits, I broke down crying almost hysterically because I was terrified that she was going to leave me now that I was sick and things were hard. I will never forget, she took my hand, told me to look at her directly, and told me that she was not going anywhere. She said that to me multiple times over the 34 days and still reminds me of that now that I'm home. She saw me go through medical withdrawal, not able to do anything for myself, having oxygen on my face, sitting with me while I'm going through withdrawal symptoms. I often felt like there were bugs crawling on me. I told her over and over how terrified I was, and she just kept showing up and loving me. Because of the abandonment and ableist behavior I have experienced, I will cherish and treasure this experience with this friend forever. She showed me that things can be different. She showed me that I was worthy and important and a priority. She showed me what a true friend is despite challenges, despite not knowing what the future holds, or what my mobility will be in the future. For that I will always be grateful. My own birth mother is not in my life because she has decided that it is too painful for her to have me in her life because of my disability, even though, in all honesty, she is the primary reason I am disabled because of her own addiction and challenges. And I don't say this out of blame, just a simple fact that if things had been different for her, they would have been different for me. Ableism is something that I have to continue to navigate in my adult life. From college acceptance to finding a job, even though I was highly qualified for the job, to receiving the same benefits as my other colleagues when I was qualified for them. For example, one of my former employers tried to deny me health insurance that they provided all employees through a group plan after 90 days because they were afraid I was going to use too many benefits and cause rates to increase. Obviously, this is illegal, and I fought them and eventually got the same insurance as everyone else, but needless to say, the owner was not happy with the outcome. When you've worked just as hard, if not harder, simply because of all the other things in your life that you have to combat, like health challenges, as the non-disabled person sitting next to you for an opportunity, and you are continually denied or second-guessed for the same opportunities time and time again, it really begins to take a toll psychologically. Here are a few examples of the psychological effects for a disabled person who has experienced ableism throughout their life, and examples of how each has affected my life personally. Mental health concerns. Ableism can lead to anxiety, depression, and feelings of inferiority and powerlessness. I feel and have felt all of these currently and at various times in my life. Most people with disabilities, including myself, suffer from depression and anxiety. Many, like myself, also develop PTSD. And let me be perfectly clear, this is not because we hate our lives, feel sorry for ourselves, are wallowing in pity, etc. I have heard all of these assumptions multiple times throughout my life. We struggle because of the daily struggles of just trying to figure out how to survive and navigate and manage a world that is simply not set up for us, not friendly, and often places many roadblocks in our path that simply make it challenging for us to have normalcy and the quality of life that we deserve. Internalized ableism. People who regularly face ableist attitudes may internalize these messages and believe them. This can lead to a lack of self-esteem and hope. This is extremely relevant for me, and I'm sure most people with disabilities, as far back as I can remember, I have always felt like there's something wrong with me, that I am fundamentally flawed, broken, and less than. I know that at least in part, this is due to ableist attitudes, discrimination, and an attitude that has left me feeling excluded from the world around me. I often struggle to find any value in myself, often because I don't feel like the world values my existence. Fear of discrimination. People may fear being labeled, losing their job, or being in living situations that are not supportive, safe, or sustainable. I have encountered this countless times in a multitude of situations. I think the most damaging has been trying to find, obtain, and sustain appropriate housing and living environments for a multitude of reasons. It has been extremely challenging for me to find safe, suitable housing. First of all, standard apartments in a standard apartment complex often are not ADA accessible. let alone the isolation that one feels without necessary community supports to be successful in the community. Examples include transportation, medical support, socialization, etc. If you have no way to access any of these, it's incredibly difficult to live independently as a matter of principle, as well as the emotional and psychological effects of significant isolation. And so community-based living becomes challenging. As I have mentioned previously, I have lived in what is traditionally called senior living since 2018. In general, these communities offer everything under one roof: rehabilitation services, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy as needed and warranted. Dining, housekeeping, maintenance, activities, transportation, shopping, and medical appointments. Assistance with evacuation due to a hurricane, which is prevalent in my area, and so much more. However, unlike the community I am currently blessed to call home, this community has been the best decision I've ever made. It is my favorite living arrangement of every situation I have ever found myself in, and truly does feel like home. I have been in communities where it has not been supportive, in fact, in many ways, extremely detrimental to my mental and psychological health. Part of ableism, in my opinion, is the belief that you can treat someone with a disability any way that you like, even if it's emotionally, verbally, and mentally abusive, because you don't see them with the same value as a non-disabled person. I feel like this has been the case in some of my previous living situations. It starts at the top, and if there's a culture in the building that certain people don't have value, or that you are superior to the people you are supposed to be helping and supporting and improving their quality of life, then ultimately that becomes a toxic environment to be living in. Sadly, it happens all the time, unfortunately. As a society, we don't care about it much because the mainstream population often forgets about and neglects those who are in long-term care situations, whether it's a nursing home, assisted living facility, group home, etc. These people, including myself, are often forgotten, or quite frankly, we are just overlooked. Because the lives of people in mainstream society are so busy and hectic, we don't tend to look out for the people who need us the most. Shame and self-blame. Ableism can create shame and self-blame and make it difficult to express needs or ask for help. Deep down, I carry a lot of shame for the fact that my reality is my reality. The fact that I'm disabled, even though I did nothing to play a part in that reality. It goes back to that negative self-image and belief and feeling of unworthiness to even exist. That fundamental belief that I am less than. And I know that there are thousands and millions of other disabled and chronically ill people who feel this way. And I hate to say that society is the one that instilled that sense into me, but that is honestly where it came from. The attitudes and beliefs of people and systems and society around me. I have felt this way most of my life, and as children, we don't automatically feel unworthy, less than, or different. We are taught that. We feel that based on what is going on around us. From as far back as I can remember, the message has always been, whether subtle or blatant, you are different. There's something wrong with you. You can't. You never will. You are not the same, etc. Those are the messages I heard by the world around me. And as you can imagine, all of these issues have the potential and often do cause significant health, mental health issues. However, often the lack of resources disabled people often encounter when trying to receive or access mental health resources and services can be overwhelming and sometimes impossible. Mental health professionals may not be trained or experienced in serving disabled people. I know firsthand, I have an amazing therapist currently and have come so far as a result of our work together. However, I have encountered many people in the field who have done more damage than help and support because of their own internal ableism and general extreme flaws of an incredibly broken system. This only adds more fuel and pain to an already raging fire. So what do we do? How can we fix this? Well, first, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of world and society do we want? We cannot fix things we do not acknowledge. We must be willing to acknowledge to ourselves and as a collective whole that ableism exists. Just like homophobia and racism, we must decide both personally and as a collective society that we will do better, that we will challenge ourselves and our sometimes narrow-minded way of thinking about differences and abilities. You can start personally by changing how you interact with someone who is disabled. For example, when I meet new people, they often ask me, "What's wrong with you?" What they really want to know is, "What is your disability?" Most don't mean anything negative by this question. They just don't know how else to ask. So the next time you meet a disabled person, if you would like to know possibly what their disability is, simply ask them that. It starts by changing your language, taking the negative connotation out of differences. Because for me, it's about education. I rarely get upset, especially when the question asked is genuine. It just may have come out in a not so kind way. I will often say directly, but with compassion, "Thank you for the question. There's nothing wrong with me, but if you're asking what my disability is, I have cerebral palsy." They often say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't trying to be rude," or something of that nature. Change your language. Having a disability or physical impairment or some other sort of difference is not negative. It's just different. So let's not approach it as a negative or something to be scared of or ashamed of or to ostracize because of its differences, neither good or bad. If you have questions, ask. Most people with disabilities would rather educate rather than be excluded or ignored. And if they can't answer or not in a place to answer, they will often tell you. But please respect that. We are not obligated to tell you what our differences are. Oftentimes, that is a very personal experience that has resulted in quite a bit of pain. Sometimes we are not able to have those conversations. If you are a parent, have young children, teach them to celebrate differences. Explain to your children that we are all different and have different abilities. If you are out in a public with your child, no matter what age, and they see a disabled person, don't scold your child and tell them not to stare, or slap their hand and hurry them along, or speak negatively about the disabled person. You are teaching your child that differences are something to fear, that they are not normal, and that they are something to exclude and ignore. And instead, explain to your child what might be different from your perspective, and allow your child to ask you questions. Allow your child to speak to the disabled person when appropriate. Let your child know that differences are to be celebrated and accepted. And if they see someone disabled at school or anywhere else, remind them to be kind and include them at recess, etc. It starts at home. The tone you set begins at home. Children are not born bullies. They do not automatically learn hate and to exclude differences. They learn that from the environment. They imitate what they see. When I was in middle school, a group of boys in my class got in trouble for vandalism because they wrote horrible things on the school walls about me. And so ultimately, they were suspended for 3 days for vandalism. When the parents got to school, the principal had brought me down to the office because she had this grand idea to have the boys apologize to me. And one of the mothers of one of the boys said to the principal, "Now, if she wasn't here, we wouldn't have a problem now, would we, looking at me?" This is a living example of it starts at home. So as adults, it is our responsibility to remind children to celebrate differences, not to exclude, and to be kind always. As a society, we must decide truly if we believe that all people are equal. And if we truly believe that, then we must be willing to be supportive of putting services and supports in place for disabled people to be able to access the same opportunities as able-bodied people. From my perspective, I find that people are hesitant to provide people with disabilities services because they think they're getting more than them, which always baffles me because how is providing someone transportation who cannot drive more services than a non-disabled person when the non-disabled person complaining has a car and can go wherever they want, whenever they want? Or how is providing more affordable, accessible housing more services than the person complaining who owns 2 homes? Or how is providing someone with a disability a job coach so that they can make sure they are successful in the workforce and have the accommodations they need when the non-disabled person complaining is a CEO of a large company? You see, 99% of disabled people don't want extra. They want support so that they can have the same opportunities as their non-disabled counterparts. They don't want handouts. They want an even playing field. They don't want a hand up. They want a stepping stone so they can pull themselves up. They don't want pity. They want an opportunity. They don't want judgment. They want access. Access to the same opportunities as everyone else, and then to be judged by the same criteria as everyone else around them who has the same opportunities. That's what disabled people want, and that's how we start ending ableism, by having conversations, by acknowledging that it exists, by checking ourselves and our privilege when we find ourselves engaging in behavior that may be ableist, and supporting policies and procedures that allow everyone to truly be on the same playing field. That's how we begin, and it starts with one conversation, and that one conversation turns into 2, turns into 5, turns into an action committee, turns into a movement, and then turns into change. All it takes is willingness. Are you willing? Just something to think about this week. Until we meet again, love and blessings to you all.